I have two readings.
Is a scripture. I'm going to be reading from the New Revised Standard Version, an updated edition. And then on top of the updated edition, I have done some edits myself to practice better inclusivity in the text. And it's from the book of 1 John. I'll be reading chapter 4, verse 16, and then continuing with 19 through 21. Hear now these words. So we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God, and God abides in them. We love because God first loved us. Those who say, I love God, and hate someone else are liars, for those who do not love others whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. The commandment we have from God is this. Those who love God must love others also. May we add blessing and understanding to the reading of these words. My next reading is actually a poem. It's from a person named Kamand Kajori. She is a creative writing PhD who was born in Dubai and now lives in Wales. Hear her words. They want us to be afraid. They want us to be afraid of leaving our homes. They want us to barricade our doors and hide our children. Their aim is to make us fear life itself. They want us to hate. They want us to hate the other. They want us to practice aggression and perfect antagonism. Their aim is to divide us all. They want us to be inhuman. They want us to throw out our kindness. They want us to bury our love and burn our hope. Their aim is to take all of our light. They think their brick walls will separate us. They think their damn bombs will defeat us. They are so ignorant, they don't understand that my soul and your soul are old friends. They are so ignorant, they don't understand that when they cut you, I bleed. They're so ignorant, they don't understand that we will never be afraid. We will never hate. And we will never be silent, for life is ours. With that though, I would love if you would share some music with us, sir.
Okay, I'm going to give a quick little bit of background. I'm trying not to talk too much here. I belong to a songwriter channel, but the idea of this is that everybody is given a little thing, a little prompt to write a song about, and they have to write that song in some way, record that song, whether it's just a phone video or a phone voice recording or something a little more elaborate, and I kind of go somewhere in between. But the prompt for this particular week was write a song that you could play in church. So you have to have it done in a week. Now, I already have a couple songs that I've sung to you guys across the last couple of years and all that, but, I had to do something new. So this is what I came up with. It's a little crazy chord-wise to play too effectively on guitar, so I've asked Stephanie to play piano on it. It's called Through a Song.
Deal with it in song, it runs through a song. The Spirit guides me home, it helps me to the Lord lets me know I'm not alone. It doesn't have a name. It's not some old man on the throne. A spirit guides me home. And though we think I can feel the sad, there is a reason to play.
Entitled The Queerness of Jesus. So today is Pride Day here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And as a matter of fact, our church is co-sponsoring a table today with UCIRC, the Presbyterian Campus Ministry, right across the street. So if you're out at the festival today, I do encourage you to come by our table, say hello. We'll have some bags of Skittles and some other stuff that we'll share with you if you can make it there. We'd love to see that. So, you know, Pride Day is actually a very special day to me. You wouldn't necessarily think so. But not only did I end up writing one of the most read biblical defenses of the gay community over a decade ago called Clobbering Biblical Gay Bashing, but my oldest son is part of the LGBTQIA+ community, and well, I couldn't be prouder of him. So Pride Day, yeah, pretty big deal to me. So I thought today might be the perfect day to talk about the queerness of Jesus. And I'll tell you, it's probably not what you might be thinking right now. In his book, Radical Love, An Introduction to Queer Theology, the Reverend Dr. Patrick Chang says this: God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. Let me read that to you again. God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. So if that is true, and I do believe that it is, then living a life that dismantles existing boundaries is the very definition of being in relationship with God. And as a Christian minister, I can't help but notice that in the life and in the teachings of Jesus, we are provided part of a road to growing this radical relationship with God that looks like a love so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. I'd even point out that the person that the gospel writers and the early church, person that they understood Jesus to be, contained the seeds of queerness. Now, for those of you who might have been just a bit uncomfortable with me saying that about Jesus and queerness, let's very quickly talk about what I mean when I use the word queer like that. So, many of us grew up in a time where the word queer was an insult. The word felt wrong in our mouths, and we kind of avoided it. It was meant to hurt people, and regardless of what the children's nursery rhyme says, words can truly hurt you because they are frequently loaded with piercing judgment and soul-crushing baggage. Well, here's the thing. Things have changed since then. And much like the terms gay and black, queer has been reclaimed by the very people it initially intended to hurt. The way I see it, that is a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing. My use of the word is based on the work that came out of the LGBTQIA plus community itself. But particularly in the field of queer theory, which built on the work of gay and lesbian movements, post-structural theory, feminism, all kinds of others. Now, the important part is, in terms of understanding how I'm using the word, the important part is what the meaning of the word has expanded to contain. In looking at how the LGBTQIA plus folks were marginalized by a dominant society, and looking at that, well, themes began to emerge in the development of queer theory. Particularly in regards to social norms and expectations. Now, it still primarily looked at the question of sex and gender and sexuality. But queerness also became a larger critique of those false binary boundaries that tried to normalize everything to a dominant society. So, while it started off as primarily challenging traditional understandings of sex and gender and sexuality in conversation with other groups who experienced the heavy-handedness of false binaries that marginalized them, groups like Black theology and liberation theology and feminist theology and several others, it expanded to become a call to deconstruct those false binary narratives in all categories and to dismantle the systems that support those false binary divisions. And even better, at least as far as I'm concerned, it was all built from a radical sense of love and inclusion. So, understood like that, let's go back to my statement that the person the gospel writers in the early church understood Jesus to be contained the seeds of queerness. Within the context of what I've just shared with you, hear my statement to say this. In the person that the gospel writers and the early church understood Jesus to be, you can clearly see and understand that he was a person who sought to break through and down all of our assumed binary boundaries and barriers, opening us up to a more boundless and inclusive faith. That's who he was. You know, in some sort of ways, it's allowed me to actually regain an appreciation for what are frequently considered foundational understandings of our faith. It'll come as no surprise to most of you that there are parts of the faith that we are told we must claim. We are told that we must claim those beliefs and traditional understandings basically fly in the face of modern and scientific minds. Things like Jesus being God incarnate. You know, over the years, I certainly developed my own understanding of how to incorporate these beliefs into my life. For me, the language of God incarnate, Well, it became a symbolic language pointing us to, I don't know, the divine within all of us. And it felt very true for me. It felt true. But sometimes, if I'm being honest, it felt like in interpreting it as symbolic language, I had overworked the concept just to make it, well, work. Queer theology, though, provides a much more satisfying theological approach to many of those foundational understandings of our faith, at least as far as I'm concerned it does. For instance, it sees the story of Jesus as the beginning of a change to the understood boundaries between divine and humanity. Now, traditionally, the church has understood the gospel to tell the story of God incarnate, God come down, the divine becoming human. Well, queer theology extends that understanding. Whether you believe the story as literal or symbolic, queer theology recognizes that in God becoming human, we are left with an understanding of God that breaks one of the ultimate false binaries, divine and human. Queer theology sees the story of Jesus placing the human-divine relationship on a continuum rather than a separation, on a continuum that has no either-or boundaries. And it forever changes the relationship between the human and the divine. There are no longer these two, they're no longer like oil and water. They mix and they mingle together in the person of Jesus, which sheds light on the potential that reality can be for all of us. Among other things, it means God is no longer this ineffable thing so far removed from us that we can never be in full relationship with it. Rather, God's also within us, within humanity. All of humanity, regardless of skin tone, sex, gender, or sexuality, or any number of other things that some folks try to use and distract us from the reality that not only are we all connected, but that we individually and collectively all participate and embody in the divine. In our modern world, humanity can feel like it's working overtime to keep us all separated and bound up in places in life that can feel somewhat meaningless. But there are so many deepening divisions, and those divisions are almost always based on some kind of dividing line in the sand, some kind of boundary or border created in the dominant culture in an effort to implicate someone as other, dangerous, unworthy, not like me, just in order to marginalize the other and to further protect the power of the majority. And frequently religious texts, or at least religious contexts, are used to justify those mostly binary boundaries of division. Used to basically say, if you aren't like us, you are bad. At times they're even backed by scripture, but rarely is that scripture ever taken fully in context with the larger theology of the overall text. Frankly, those of us who attempt to follow the teachings of Jesus should take particular offense to this. These binary boundaries of division are the defining lines of injustice. And the use of our sacred text to try to justify injustice is unjustifiable. As a matter of fact, it's downright blasphemy. Queer theology does the much needed work of dismantling those messages of division that masquerade as religion and replace them with theological insights that open us to a more inclusive love. You know, it's interesting. Looking at the life of Jesus through a queer lens has also helped me in my understanding of sin. Up until now, I've never really been a big fan of the concept of sin and how it's presented. Up until now, my best understanding of sin had involved the concept of going into the root language of missing the mark, to sin left, to sin right. You missed the mark. And particularly missing the mark when it came to expressing love through my words and my actions. And you know, that's not an entirely bad understanding, but it does call into question for me what those actions might end up looking like. What should they be? See, I believe that queer theology gives us a more pragmatic understanding to work from, a better goal, so to speak, a better goal of what those actions should strive to be. And now, while I do still see sin as missing the mark of expressing love, I see the most extreme sin as being specifically done by reinforcing or refusing to dismantle borders and boundaries that separate us from each other. Dismantling borders and boundaries in response to and as a result of radical love is at the heart of queer theology and at the heart of what it looks like to follow the life and teachings of Jesus, at least for Christians. That's what I mean by the queerness of Jesus. As Dr. Chang says, God is the very manifestation of a love that is so extreme that it dissolves existing boundaries. And as it turns out, that solves another one of the foundational understandings of our faith that I struggled with. Being saved. I've been a Christian my entire life. I can't even begin to tell you the number of theology books that I've read. I have 2 different degrees in theological study. But I have to say, there's really no theology about being saved that I can completely get on board with. As a matter of fact, I find most of the theologies behind needing to be saved, I find most of them to be somewhat ghastly, frankly. Until now. Queer theology has given me a very satisfying understanding of being saved. Now my understanding is that pulling down the boundaries that have separated us from each other, from creation, and from God is how Jesus saves us. If we are Christians, at least. And that is not only a theology that I expect we all can get behind, but it's also the way we begin to save each other and the world. Doug, I'll ask you if you would, sir, play us another song.
I'd be glad. This song was written by a friend of mine, Eric Bannon, who is the son of, who is a Unitarian minister at Chapel Hill. And it's on. He's actually the title song of an album. He's a fine singer-songwriter, too. Made about 3 albums. This is the title of one, actually. It's called You Are Welcome Here. If you are searching, just come on in. We're all on this journey that starts from within. If you've got a burden, come lay it on down. Raise up your voice as we gather around.
Okay, good.
There's better. I'll go ahead and do that whole verse. By the way, I also forgot to say, that, I'm going to be asking y'all to sing along with the chorus at the end of this. Which is, so it's probably really good I changed the key back now.
If you are searching, just hold it. We're all on this journey that starts from within. If you've got a burden, come lay it on me. Raise up your voice as we gather around. Whoever you are, whomever you love, however you came to be in this community, you are welcome here. You are welcome here. If you are joyful, or if you're concerned, come share your story. The chalice flame burns. Your heart is broken, or you've been to suffer. Come join your circle and turn off your phone. Whoever you are,
pretty good. I appreciate that very much, sir. We do enter into the time in our service that's more inward turn. And as I do say, I've come to see prayer in very different ways than I might have 10 or 15 years ago. So I ask you to accept this as a prayer or as a meditation or an opportunity to hear whatever this moment your heart and mind needs. So let's bow our heads together. We have heard the words of the prophets instructing us to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly. Let us turn our hearts and minds to places in the world where those things sometimes seem difficult to come by. In the struggle for justice for all, in places around the world where there is civil unrest and violence as people call for change, may justice prevail in a way that no one is left behind and no one is taken for granted. In our efforts to love kindness, we are reminded of the divides that the judgment from churches can, has, and continues to cause. May loving kindness be extended not only inside the walls of the church, but in a way that it is extended to everyone outside the walls as well. May we learn humility. May we learn not to feel as if we are more deserving than anyone else. May we stop judging others because they don't agree with us or if we're not doing things the way we would prefer. May we be reminded that living lives of love and action is part of the prescription for a world where no one must suffer, and may we be inspired to begin doing that even more fully today. Amen. Receive this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may your words and actions share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.